All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is daf hey, and we are picking up Emirat Hashem at the two dots on Dalid Amud Beis. Kalisha Shiesh Laveses. So we'll say our shir this morning is dedicated, all of our shirim this one dedicated by Jacob and Julie Blumenfeld in memory of their grandmother, Zichron Levrach. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. Kol isha shiyesh la veses. So if you remember again, the Mishnah says that any woman who has a veses, daya shaita. Right? So we'll say daya shaita means that halacha lemaisa, we assume that when she bleeds, that is when her status changes to one of a nida. So, leimu maslisim, Rabbi Dosi. We'll say, today that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Dosi, v'lo Rabbanon. And not Rabbanon. Why not? Tesanya. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Arben Noshim, Dayin Shaitan. So as we're actually going to see this is a Mishnah. In just a few days from now, we're going to, Eliezer holds that four women have a status of Dayin Shaitan. Who are the four women? Besula. I will say Besula in this context doesn't mean what a Besula normally means, which is a virgin. In this case, Besula means Besulas Damim. A woman who has never had a menstrual flow. Besulas damim, shelo ra'as adam yameha, v'afilu hi nesua kari besula. What's that? It's a young girl. So besula in this context means a young girl. Besula, mi'uberes, a pregnant woman, menika, a nursing woman, uzakina, an older woman. So we'll say, what's the kamdenamdir amongst these four women? They do not normally experience a menstrual flow. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, these four women are daya shaita. Which means that because they don't normally expect a menstrual flow, if they bleed, we assume the bleeding occurred right now, and we don't back up their status retroactively. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Mishnah would seem to indicate, I'm sorry, Rabbi Dosi says, Kol isha sheish la veses daya shaita. So Rabbi Dosi says that halacha lemaaseh, no, any woman who has a veses kavua, what we call has an established cycle, we could also say daya shaita about. To which the Gemara says, "Afilu teimur rabba." So also, therefore, the Gemara suggests that our Mishnah, which says that any woman who has a veses is daya shaita, must reflect the view of Rabbi Dosa. To which the Gemara says, "Afilu teimur rabbanon." The truth is, it could even reflect the view of the rabbanon. How so? Ad kan lo pligi rabbanon leid Rabbi Dosa ela shelo b'shas vesta. Up until now, the rabbanon were only arguing on Rabbi Dosa. When is Shiloh B'Shas Vesta, when it was not the time for her cycle, Aval B'Shas Vesta, but at the end of the day, the Rabbanon would agree that if it is the time of her cycle, Module, they would agree that Halacha L'Maisa, we would apply Daya Shaita for her, Umas Nisin B'Shas Vesta, V'Divrei Hakol. So we'll say the easiest way to read the Mishnah is that the Mishnah says, Kol Isha Shiesh Laveses, whichever woman has a cycle, a set cycle, and it is the time of her cycle, and she sees blood, therefore what? Daya Shaita. And therefore that would reflect the view of everyone. That would be Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanon. What you can infer from that is that Rabbi Dosa holds that a woman who has a veses kavua, a woman who has a veses, even if she sees blood shelo b'shas vesta, we would still say dayas shaita, which is actually very interesting. So if that's the case, Amar man tana lahadutan rabbanon. Shabbos say if that's the case, who would be the view reflected in the following brisa? Isha sheish la veses, if a woman has a regular cycle. Kisma tame lemafreya. So also we're going to get into the topic of ksamim. So remember again, a kesam is a stain. So we'll say, so the interesting part over here is that, remember, as I mentioned last week, and again, we're going to see all of this much more in depth as we go through this masechta. Under normal circumstances, for a woman to become a nida d'oraisa, she needs what's called the hargasha. She needs a sensation. On the most basic level, a sensation represents an opening up of the uterus and a flow of blood. The issue with a kesem is that a woman sees dam, she sees blood, but lav dafka that there was a hargasha. We're not sure if there was a hargasha. That's why ksamim, staining, even again, in contemporary hilchos nida, are treated much more the kula, in a much more lenient fashion than a regular flow of blood. So watch this. The Raisa says as follows. That a woman who has a veses, her kesem, if she finds the stain, tame lemafreya. Ultimately, again, it has retroactive tumah. Shimtira shalobishas vesta, that if she sees a stain when it's not the time for her regular cycle, mitamame is lais. Interestingly enough, we would back up, we retroactively apply our tumah status for 24 hours. We'll say, now this is by a kesem, right? This is by a stain. So we'll say, whose opinion is that? Neimar Rabbanon hi, v'lo Rabbi Dosa. That would appear to be the position of the Rabbanon and not Rabbi Dosa. Rather, the Gemara says, no, afil tim Rabbi Dosa. It could even be Rabbi Dosa. Why? Ad kan lo pligi Rabbi Dosa li Rabbanon el b'shaz vesta. Rabbi Dosa only argues on the Rabbanon at the time of ritual veses. Aval shalo b'shaz vesta. But if it's not at the time of ritual veses, modu luhu. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Dosa would agree with the Rabbanon. Umas nisin b'shaz vesta. And it could very well be that the Mishnah is referring to a case of our Mishnah Bosai that says any woman who has a Veses, Dayas Shaito, that's Dafka referring to any woman who has a Veses and what? And what? And it's the time for her Veses, then Dayas Shaito. And it would reflect the view of Rabbi Dosa, top of Hey, Ubraisa Divrei Hakol. And perhaps again the Braisa reflects the view of both Rabbanan and Rabbi Dosa. I belukma ipcha, but why not just reverse it? You know, you could just as easily say it the other way. Kevan diika, kevan diika, luukme lukula uluchumra luchumra mukminan. Because we'll say, since we have the ability to go ahead and set it up, being lukula being luchumra, we choose to go ahead and set it up luchumra. So we'll say, so therefore, the way the Gemara is ending off over here is as follows: that our Mishnah, when it says kol hanoshim, or I should say, what was the lashon? Kol isha shiyish la veses daya shaita. Any woman who has a veses, we apply daya shaita. So the way we're understanding that statement now is any woman who has a veses, and it is the time of her veses. We'll say, you remember, veses means a cycle. We'll discuss again. We're going to spend much time on all of these sugyas about. There are different types of vestos, different types of what we'll call menstrual regularity. So, but for our purposes right now, any woman who has a set veses, a set cycle, and it is the time for her menstrual flow, daya shaita. And again, that reflects the view ultimately again of Rabbi Dosa. Good. Katani, shimtira shelo b'shas vesta metame isleis. And it wasn't, interestingly enough, based on the Mishnah, you could say that if she saw Shalobishas Vesta, right, let's say, so I'll say now we're dealing with a case of a woman who has a regular cycle, but now she sees blood not at what we'll call the normal time. We call Shalobishas Vesta, Mitam Me'isleis. In that case, it would appear that what? That Allah Chalamayis would retroactively back up her Tumah for 24 hours. Taima. The isha sheyesh la veses who do pligi rabbanon ben kisma l'reiyasa. So we'll say ultimately again. Because we're dealing over here with a woman who has a veses, that's why the rabbanon are mechalik. That's why they distinguish between a flow and a stain. A kesem is a stain. A reiya is a flow. Hashar nashim. Other women, however, shamru chachamim dayan shaitan kisman k'reiyasan. So we'll say other women. Who Chazal said the concept of Dayan Shaitan apply to, ultimately again, their Kesem and their Re'iyah would be the same. There would be no Chilik between staining and flows. Whose opinion does that reflect? Money. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Both said that would seem to reflect the view of Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus. Dam Rabbi Hudam Rishmuel, Mishra Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Kol Hanoshim, Kisman Tamil Mafreya. All women in general, their Ksamim, any stain, ultimately, again, as Tamil Mafreya, and I will say now, I want to point something out. Remember, it's very important. Context is everything. What are we talking about over here? Taras. Right? I will say everything we're dealing with over here so far is in the realm of Taras. When we speak about Tumala Mafreya, right? These opinions, this is Tumala. If she handled Taras, then within the last 24 hours, those Taras would be problematic. Remember, again, the backdrop to all of this is the easy way to circumvent all of these problems is how? Is how the easy way to circumvent most problems in life is how? Follow halacha, right? So what does halacha say by a woman? Remember again, what did Chazal legislate? It's also in yesterday's daf. She's doing two bedikas a day, right? One shachris, one arvis. Remember again, that twice daily bedika always caps your taras fallout, right? So therefore, if she ever discovers blood, even if we're retroactively applying her status, At most, the taros of what period of time are going to be impacted? By some 12-hour period before, and some ona before. But again, leaving that aside, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, Kol nashim kisman tamei l'mafreya. All women, their ksamim, their stains, are tamei l'mafreya. So v'noshim sha'amru chachamim dayon shaitan. But again, any women who Chazal said are dayon shaitan, right? Whichever group of women fall into that category, kisman kiri'iyasan. Ultimately, again, their kesem, their stain, has the same status as their ri'ios. Chutz mitinokes shalohi giyazmano. Both say the exception to this rule will be a young girl who has never yet experienced the menstrual flow. Sha'afilu sadinan shalom meluchlochin badam. Because even if she finds that her sheets are filled with blood, ein choshishin la. Now, both say ein choshishin la means we don't go ahead and retroactively apply her status. We assume that halacha l'maisa, when she finds blood, it just started now. It just started now. Rashi says, "Meluchlochin bedam v'lo yada i'asi migufa ilo." So we'll discuss this in just a moment. So we'll say, so again, that would be a situation where she doesn't know, is this menstrual blood or is it blood from elsewhere? So in choshesh in la, Rashi says, "Va'afilu ein la b'malitlos dibeshuk shel tabachim la avra." So we'll discuss this again. This is not our primary topic, but it happens to be very interesting in general when it comes to the halachos of staining. So when it comes to ksamim, so halacha lemaisa, so there's something called the tliya. Tliya means now, because a kesem is not a flow, and because a kesem, there wasn't necessarily a hagasha that was preceding it, when possible, we have the ability to go ahead and be tola. We have the ability to say that kesem is not a result of menstrual blood, but is a result of some other type of blood from somewhere else. So therefore, again, when you have a young girl who has not yet begun to menstruate, and we find staining from her, even if it's a lot of blood, halacha lemaisa, we assume that kesem is from elsewhere. We don't assume that it's menstrual blood, even if it's a significant amount of blood, and even if she can't figure out what else to go ahead and attribute that blood to, halacha lemaisa, we assume that it's not menstrual blood. Again, right now, the Gemara, as I will say, is just throwing this stuff out in an effort to explain the Mishnah. These are not the primary sugyas, so we'll delve into all of them. Umi is le Rabbi Chanina kesem klal, but does Rabbi Chanina even hold of the concept of kesamim applying to the arba nashim, to the four women that we mentioned before? Vatanya, we learned kalan nashim kisman tami. In general, I'll say all women a kesem, a stain, right, is problematic. Benashim sha'amru chachamim dayan shaitan. But the women whom Chazal said, Dayan Shaitan, Kisman Tame. Right? Ultimately, again, their kesem is also Tame. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Nashim Sha'amru Dayan Shaitan, Ein Lahem Kesem. But what's the interesting, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus says, the women about whom we say Dayan Shaitan, ultimately, again, they have no status of kesem. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My love, Ein Lahem Kesem Klal. Does that not mean that the status of ksamim doesn't apply to Nebos? And remember again, who are those four women? That is the basula, the young girl, the mu'uberes, the pregnant woman, the meinekes, the nursing woman, and the zakena, the older woman. Kamdanamir amongst those four women is what? They don't normally experience a menstrual flow. So the Gemara is saying maybe what it means is that halacha lemaisa, these women just don't have the halachos of ksamim. What that means is that if they discover a stain of blood, we automatically attribute it to something non-menstrual. To which the word, my love, ain't like kesem klal, lo, ain't like kesem mafreya. No, what it means is they don't have the status of ksamim retroactively. Aval yesh lahem kesem mikan ulahaba. But they do have the status of a kesem from now going forward. Michlal de Tanakama Sabra Filim Afreya. Shabbos says, so again, what it really means is Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus is saying that halacha lemaisa, some of them are only problematic here going forward, no retroactivity. So we could assume that, what does that mean? The Tanakama holds that the some are problematic even retroactively. In Rabbi Meir Huda Machmir, Gabi Ksamim, it is true. Rabbi Meir will say, ultimately, again, is Machmir by Ksamim. Disanya, Kola Noshim, Kisman Tomil Mafreya. In general, all women, when they have a kesem, when they have a stain, that stain is tamei lemafreya V'nashim shamru k'samim, v'nashamu chachamim, dayan shaitan. But the women whom Chazal said, the four women who Chazal said are dayan shaitan, kisman tame l'mafreya. Ultimately, again, their k'samim are tame. I'm sorry, v'nashamu chachamim, dayan shaitan, kisman tame l'mafreya, d'ray meyer. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Noshim Shamru Chachamim Dayan Shaitan Kisman Kiri Yasan. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, on the other hand, holds differently. He says that the women that Chazal said are Dayan Shaitan, their Kesem is treated like their Re'ios. Petinokes Shegia Zmana Liros, and I will say a young girl whose time, right, whose time to menstruate has come, Yeshla Kesem. She has the status of the Kesem, or I should say she has, her Ksumim are significant. V'shelohi giyas man aliros, but aloch alamais, again, if it is not yet her time to have a menstrual flow, ein lo kesem, she does not have the status of ksamim. Ve'imasai hi giyas man aliros, and I will say, at what point in time is it considered that aloch alamais, it's man aliros, mishigiyu yimei haneurim. We'll say ultimately again when the days of her youth come. So again, we'll discuss that status as well on a most basic level. That's either gauged by age or physical maturation. So either when she displays signs of physical maturation or halacha lamaisa, again, when she reaches the age, a certain age. Again, we'll discuss, is it 11? Is it a 12? Is it earlier? We'll see all of that in the Gemara later on. So we'll say, so bottom line for our purposes over here is that halacha lamaisa, the Gemara introduced us first of all to the discussion of ksamim, and also seeing the concept that halacha lamaisa, the same machlokes that applies ultimately again to whether or not we retroactively apply our status of nida when it comes to a re'iyah, ultimately applies by ksamim as well as the constant machlokes regarding which women have the status of dayon shaitan versus which women ultimately again have the status of nida mikanu lahaba. That's the ongoing machlokes that we'll continuously see throughout this sugya. So also remember again, then the Mishnah said, the last part of the Mishnah over here was v'hamishameshes be'edim harezu kipekida umimaetes al yad me'es le'es layam pekida lebekida. So also remember again, so the case over here is, if a woman was doing bedikos before and, well, we'll see what it means, but let me just translate it this way. A woman who was doing bedikos before and or after she was having relations, those bedikos are effective for the halachos of diminishing the time frame. Take a step back. The Chachamim said, remember again, so you have a woman who experiences a menstrual flow. The shayla, of course, that we're dealing with is, at what point in time do we apply her nida status? Let's go through. Be'shamay, da'yashayta. Be'silo, back to the last pedika. Pekida le'pekida, back to the last pedika. Chachamim, we narrow down the window. The lesser of either ace la'ace, 24 hours, or mi pekida le'pekida. In the sheet of the Chachamim, the Mishnah then says, oh, by the way, the bedikos that she does before and or after Bia count as bedikos for these purposes. So again, if she had relations within the last 24 hours, so halacha lemaaseh again, that bedika before and or after Bia works to diminish, to be the lesser of the bedika versus 24-hour time frame. To which the Gemara says, okay, what does this mean? The bedika she does before Bia does not really count for these purposes. Or as I both say, so for example, let's say she was with her husband 12 hours ago, and she did a bedika ultimately again before Bia. So what the Gemara now is saying over here is that bedika that she did before Bia does not count for these purposes, and for that type of woman, we would apply her nida status to what point? We would retroactively apply it to when? 24 hours. Right? 24 hours. So that bedika before Bia doesn't count. Why not? My time amrav katina mitoch shemuhuma labesa. But it is a euphemistic term. Muhuma labesa means she's excited to get home. What does that mean? Rashi says, memaheres l'shamish. So the assumption of, so again, because she's eager to be with her husband, therefore that bedika before the Bia doesn't count. What does that mean? What does that mean? Because she's eager to be with her husband, the bedikah doesn't count. To which the Gemara says, "Mitoch shemuhumu lebeisa, ena machnisin lechorin ulustakin." We'll say the notion of a bedikah works because we assume that a woman does a thorough internal examination. Because she is eager to be with her husband, therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, we assume that the bedikah is rushed. Because it's rushed, it's not thorough. Because it's thorough, therefore, halacha lemaisa, it does not count. Also, by the way, just so you should know, this concept, ultimately finds its way to contemporary hilchos nida as well. The halacha is before a woman goes to the mikvah, she has to do a chafifa. She has to complete preparation. The halacha is that chafifa is supposed to be done by day. Right? If she can't do it by day, she could do it that night before she goes to the mikvah also. But ideally, it's by day. Why is it by day? Because halacha lemaaseh, we want to make sure that the woman takes her time in doing those preparations. If already it's nightfall and she has the ability to go to the mikvah, there's a concern that the preparations will be rushed. So because of that halacha lemaaseh, chafifa must be done by day. Again, on a clip, b'di'evad, if for some reason she couldn't do it by day, she could do it at night also, but it's the same idea. So halacha lemaaseh, the Gemara is suggesting that the bedikah prior to bia does not work. Does not work. So the Gemara says, fine. Tanan, ha'mishameshes be'idim harezu kipikida. So the Mishnah said, if a woman, I will say, mishameshes be'idim, an aid is another name for a bedikah cloth. Right? So we'll say, why? Because remember, the bedikah cloth testifies, so to speak, to her status. So if a woman uses edim before bia, so mishamesh edim means that before and after she has bia, plural. Mishamesh be'edim means bedikah cloths, which sounds like she's going ahead and she's using the bedikah cloth before and after bia. Harezu kipikida. Ultimately, again, this works as a bedikah for the purposes of capping the retroactivity of her nida status. My love, chad lifnei tashmish v'chala achar tashmish. Now the Mishnah uses plural, hamishamesh as be'edim, which sounds like what? That halacha lemaisa, the bedikah cloth before bia, as well as after bia, both of those could work to ultimately cap the retroactivity, to which the Gemara says, lo, idivi idila achar tashmish. And I will say, in fact, they're both referring to bedikah cloths after relations. The echad lo, the echad lo. And I will say, ultimately, what? One of them is referring to the bedikah cloth that she uses, and one of them is referring to the cloth that he uses. Kidisnan, as we learned, we'll see this sugya later on. Derech benos Yisrael misham shos b'shnei edim. But we'll say the derech of Jewish women is to go ahead and to have relations, ultimately again, with two cloths. Echad lo, the echad lo. Ultimately again, one with which she checks herself, and one with which he checks himself. So we'll say again, we'll see this sugi later on. This has to do with the issue of dam machmas bia, ultimately again with blood as a result of relations. So there was a concept, ultimately again in halacha, again we'll see contemporarily what we see halacha lemaisa, how this translates, of a man checking himself also after bia to make sure that there's no blood on him. Because even if a man finds blood on himself after bia, so halacha lemaisa, that could have the status of dam machmas bia as well, and be in certain circumstances be halachically problematic. So the Gemara is suggesting that the plurality over here is not telling us that the bedikah she has before bia works, but rather it's actually a reference to the two bedikah cloths used after bia, one for him and one for her. Echalo ve'echalo. Hi, my. So the Gemara says, what does this mean? It's trich. So I'll say, if you want to tell me that the two bodika cloths being referred to over here refers to the one she uses before bia and the one she uses after bia, it's trich. So now I understand why the Mishnah has to teach me these cases. Why? So the Mishnah would be telling me that I would have thought the Havamina is that the Bedika before Bia is not a good Bedika. In other words, when I say not a good Bedika, it's not a good Bedika for these purposes, for capping retroactivity. Why? Because she does it quickly. Kamashmalon Harizuki Pekida. Therefore, we'll say the novelty would be that the Mishnah teaches me, no, it is a good Bedika. It is a good Bedika. But if you tell me that both the Bedika cloths being mentioned in the Mishnah are the ones being used after Bia, and one of them is for her, one of them is for him, so Pshita, Mao de Tema, so we'll say Pshita, so then obvious, so then what's that? Of course, the Bedika that she does after Tashmish Rabosai should be a valid Bedika to cap retroactivity. Why would you have thought that the Bedika after Tashmish Rabosai, the only suffix I have is what? Is about the Bedika before Tashmish. Because as we just said, I could understand maybe why you would say that doesn't count as a bona fide Bedika. Because at the end of the day, she's doing it quickly, right? And if you want to tell me maybe the novelty in the Mishnah, when it uses the plural of bedikos, teaches me that, no, even the bedika done before Bia works as well. But why do you have to teach that the bedika done after Bia caps retroactivity? Of course it does. To which someone else, I'll tell you what the halamina is. Pshita ma'od teima, shematira tibas dam kechardo v'techapna shichvas zera. Listen, maybe I should be concerned that halacha l'maisa, when she does a bedika after Bia, maybe there was blood. Maybe there was blood, but what? But the blood was covered by shichvazer, it was covered by semen, and therefore, again, it can't be seen. So maybe, maybe that bedika shouldn't work as well. Kamash blah, no. Kamash blah, said that we're not choshesh for that, and that we assume that, in fact, if there was blood, she would have seen it. Shabbos said, therefore, according to this approach, the novelty in the Mishnah is as follows. Halacha l'maisa, so ultimately, again, the bedika done before Bia does not work to cap retroactivity. Why not? Because halacha l'maisa, we assume it's not a thorough bedika. So what does the Mishnah teach me? That the bedika done after Bia does work to cap retroactivity. What's the chiddush? Because I might have thought that bedika shouldn't work either because maybe there's blood, but ultimately, again, she can't see it because it's covered by Zera. Kamashmalan, no, we don't make that assumption. That's possibility one. Vibai Zera, what's another possibility of saying the Mishnah? Ishte bedikos atzichu rabanan. Chalif netash chal achar tashmish. So we'll say, so maybe halacha l'maisa. The Mishnah is coming to teach you something else, we'll say. The Mishnah is actually coming to teach you the halacha that Chazal legislated that a woman has to do two bedikas when it comes to tashmish. One before Bia and one after Bia. And therefore, again, the Mishnah is teaching me two halachas over here. Halacha number one is that a woman has to do a bedika before Tashmish and after Tashmish. That's halacha number one. What's halacha number two? That only the bedika after Tashmish is the one that counts for to cap retroactivity purposes. I vaha hamisha meshes kitani. So we'll say, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah said, in other words, we'll say, if halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah was coming to teach me the obligation for two bedikos, it should have said umisha meshes be'edim. But it doesn't say that, but rather it says vahamisha meshes, and one who has relations. To which the Gemara says, you're right, vahamisha meshes kitani, tani umisha meshes. Inachinami changed the girsa to say umisha meshes. So therefore, we'll say, so two different ways of reading the Mishnah. According to the first approach of reading the Mishnah is coming to teach me that the first bedika prior to Bia does not work for retroactivity purposes. Why? Too rushed. But the second bedika does. Because without the Mishnah, I would have thought what? Rabbi said that even what? Even the second bedika doesn't work for retroactivity purposes. Why not? Because it's not a good bedika. Why is it not a good bedika? Because again, maybe there's going to be blood, but the blood is going to be covered by zera. Kamash malam, no, the second bedika works. Second approach in understanding the Mishnah is that, no, the Mishnah is actually teaching me two distinct halachas. Halacha number one is the halachos of bedikos vis-a-vis tashmish. The halacha l'maisa Chazal legislated that before and after tashmish, a woman has to do a bedika. That's halacha number one, right? Halacha number two is, and the bedika after Tashmish counts ultimately again to cap retroactivity, but again the bedika before Tashmish does not work. And I will say that's two ways of reading the Mishnah. Good. Mima'etes ayad me'is leis. So must remember again the Mishnah then said that ultimately again that when she does this bedika by Bia is mima'etes ayad me'is leis, which means ultimately again the bedika, so the bedika after Tashmish, if it is less than 24 hours from this Sariya that she's having now, it diminishes the window ultimately again of retroactivity. So it says the Gemara, Hashta me'es la'es mima etes, Amadeus, mi pekida le pekida mi boy. So let's remember again, so the Mishnah constant uses this same verbiage, which is that halacha le'maisa, the bedika that she does after tashmish. Also, remember again, this is going in the position of the chachamim, who hold that we retroactively apply status, but to the lesser of what? To the lesser of the time, either the last 24 hours or to the last bedika. And now the Mishnah is teaching me that halacha lemaisa, the bedika she does after bia, the bedika she does after Tashmish, ultimately again counts to cap the retroactivity. And the Mishnah says it both ways. The Mishnah says it works to cap the amount of time to the last bedika or for the last 24 hours. To which the Gemara says, Hashta mebekidu lebekidu, I'm sorry, Hashta me'es leisim ha'atas. If halacha lemaisa again, this particular bedika works to cap the amount of time until within 24 hours, which is what it means. If halacha lemaisa, this bedika after Tashmish was done within the last 24 hours, it caps retroactivity up until the point of this bedika, then me pekida la pekida mi boy. Then I will say, of course, it works to go ahead and cap it even lesser than the amount of time since the last bedika. In other words, I will say, what we're assuming is that halacha lemaisa, that she did, just to the timeline, she went ahead and she sees blood. So now what do we say? If halacha lemaisa she had relations within some amount of short time and she did a bedika ultimately again after relations, we capped retroactivity until when? Until when? Until the time of that bedika post-Tashmish. And the Mishnah says, oh, and by the way, what it also does is it prevents the tumah from retroactively extending back 24 hours and to the last bedika. To which the Gemara says, once you tell me that it prevents it from going back 24 hours, then of course it also prevents it going back what? To the last bedika. To which the Gemara says, ma'ad teima, me'ez la'ez chashu barabana lepsida de taras. You might have thought the rabbis say that the rabbis wanted to cap the tumah. They didn't want it going back 24 hours because that could potentially disqualify a lot of taras. But maybe they would extend back her tumah status back to the last bedika. Kamash malono, kamash on that halacha lemaisa, they didn't extend it back to the last bedika either. Good. So we'll say. So again, it's just a havamina that the Gemara says we don't follow. So halacha lemaisa, we'll say, still same conclusion intact. Which is that what? That if she did a bedika after Tashmish, that bedika after Tashmish caps the retroactivity. Beautiful. Ketzad da'yeh shaita. So we'll remember again, then the Mishnah says something very interesting. The Mishnah says, what's the case of da'yeh shaita? So this was very interesting. So the Mishnah said, Ketzad da'yeh shaita, ha'isi yosheves b'mita, if she was sitting on a couch, va'asuka b'taras, and she was dealing with taras, uparsha, and then she got up from the couch, v'rasa, and then she sees blood, he tamea, so we'll say, what it sounds like is she sees blood on the couch, he tamea, v'heim tahoros. Ultimately, again, she is tamea, right? The woman is tamea, v'heim tahoros, but the taras that she was dealing with are tahar. Artar, right? We'll say, why? Why? Because daya shaita. Because we assume she became tamei when? When? Right now. But now we should do taras. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Alama li lemisni haisi yosheves b'mita va'aske b'taras. Who cares that she was sitting on a couch? What does it matter? She's sitting on a couch. She's sitting on a beanbag. She's sitting on the floor. She's sitting on a recliner. Right? What does it make a difference where she's sitting? Right? We'll say, remember, lisni haisa suka b'taras uparsha. Uparsa, right? Uparsa, verasa. What's it? Remember, what's the point over here? The point over here is you have a woman who's dealing with taras. She stops dealing with taras. Then what happens? Then what happens? She sees blood. What's the halacha? What's the halacha? Daya shaita. Daya shaita tells me what? She's tamei. What about the taras? Taras are okay. What is where she's sitting make any difference? To which the Gemara, I'll tell you why. How kamash malan taima? The daya shaita. Ultimately, the Gemara says the reason is because of daya shaita. Ha me'es la'es mita nami mitama. This is actually very interesting. The Gemara is giving me a very nuanced concept as well, which is that halacha lemaisa, the reason why there's no problem with the couch is why? Because of daya shaita. But had we gone ahead and applied me'es la'es, the couch would have been mekabel tuma. The couch would have been tamei as well. So Gemara says, so why? Watch this. So both say this supports the view of Ziri. What is Ziri? Say Damar Ziri. So they both say, when we apply, when we retroactively apply tuma status to anida, osa mishkav umoshav letame adam uletame begadim. So both say, when you have the tuma of anida meis leis, that the tuma of anida conveys tuma, what we call tumas mishkav umoshav, which Rabbi say means anything that she sits on top of also becomes tame. Also becomes tame. And that tuma, by the way, so that which she sits on has the ability to convey tuma to people, and ultimately, again, begadim. So we'll say what the Mishnah is actually teaching me in a nuanced fashion is that halacha lemaisa, if she was sitting on the couch dealing with taras, she gets up and there's blood. Halacha lemaisa again, dayashaita. Dayashaita means she's tamea, right? Ultimately, the taros that she engaged in are totally fine. And halacha lemaisa, the couch, is also fine, right? But had we applied me'is le'is to her status, then not only would the taros have been impacted, but what? But what? The couch itself would have been impacted as well. Mishkav and Moshav of Anita. Anything that Anita sits on ultimately again becomes Tameh as well. And that Tumah conveys Tumah to Adam and Begadim. To which the Gemara says, Michti, let's analyze this. I don't understand. Hi Mita. So we'll say, and I remember again. So Hi Mita, Davar She'ein Bodas Lishalu. So we'll say that mita. So we'll say, remember again, what's the case over here? The case over here is the woman is getting up. Now we'll say, now the truth is, strike what I said before about seeing the blood on the mita. That's not the case. We'll see that case later on. Right? This case over here is she's sitting on a mita. She gets up. She gets up. What happens right when she gets up? She sees blood on herself. Right? On herself, she sees blood. So we'll say, now what did the Mishnah say? Daya shaita. She's tamea. The taras are what? What status of the taras? Fine. The mita? Good. But the Mishnah, we infer from the Mishnah is, also in any case where in the situation where you would have said what? She's metame la'is la'is, then just like the taras would have been impacted, what else would have been impacted? The couch. Mishkav u'moshav avanida. So let's analyze this. I don't understand what we're saying. Let's take this case. She's sitting on the couch. She got up from the couch. She finds dam. You want to say, you want to tell me now that if any case where you would have applied me'is le'is to taras, you would also would have applied me'is le'is to what? To what? To the couch. So is that really true? Hi mita, davar she'en bo das lishalu. People say this mita is something that's called a davar she'en bo das lishal. What does it mean, a davar she'en bo das lishal? Both in the world of tuma, there's two different types of objects. There are things that you could ask and things that you can't ask. What does that mean? So a human being, if they become Tameh, or there's a Sali Tameh, you can ask them, right? What happened? What happened? Did you touch the Sheretz? Not touch the Sheretz. And then there are other things that obviously are in Bodas Lishal, which is like a couch, right? A couch you can't ask. Some people spend a lot of time with their couch. Right? They will say their couch becomes like an extension of themselves, Rahmana Litzlan. They will say, despite that, the couch is still Ein Bodas Lishol. Right? It has no Das. So, V'chol Dor V'shem Bodas Lishol, Sveik Otar. Now, mostly we'll see where this concept comes from. But in general, we say, anything that does not have Das Lishol. Right? Anything ultimately, again, that doesn't have Das, Sveiko Tar. So we'll say, what would that mean therefore in this case? What should that mean? I have a woman who is sitting on the couch. She gets up. She sees Dam. Let's say for argument's sake, we would say retroactivity. Let's say according to Hillel. Right? Hillel would say in such a case like that, what would be the halacha? Mi pekidu le pekidu. We retroactively back up her tumba. All of her taurus are problematic. So you're going to tell me that what? The couch is problematic also? That's not true, right? Anything that's imbo das lishal, ultimately against sveik otar. We're not sure, did she sit on the couch when she was in Ida? Not sit on the couch when she was in Ida? Was the blood there and the blood not there? The couch should be tar. Tirgama ziri, what's the case? Kishechavro se nosos osa b'mita. Dahavia le yad chavro seho. Oh, who will say, watch this. What's the case? The case is when the woman was sitting on the couch, her friends were carrying the couch. Look at Rashi. Kishechavrosa nosas osa b'mita. Ba'osem e'es la'es. Da'havi le hach mita biat chavrosel. She'yesh ba'das li'shoel. Hilchach t'mea. So we'll say, actually, this is quite interesting over here. So the Gemara is suggesting that halacha l'maisa, since someone's holding the couch, right, this is called Yesh Badas Lishoel. So this is fascinating. If the couch is stationary, no one's carrying it, it's Ein Bodas Lishoel. If someone's carrying it, it's Yesh Bodas Lishoel. V'hasha Dan Rav Yochanan, Safek Tuma Haba Bidei Adam Nishalin Alel. So I'll say, so now, by the way, based on this, this actually opens up something fascinating. Rav Yochanan said, any suffix tuma that comes about as a result, Hababi de Adam. So also, which means this, I'll look at Rashi just a moment. Hababi de Adam, Kegon zu de tuma al yada ba. So I'll say, so for example, this is a case, tuma comes about through a person. Kegon no se sheretz biado, suffix naga bakli amunach al gabi karka, suffix lo naga. So I'll say, for example, let's say a person is carrying a sheretz, and there's a suffix. Did he touch the kli? Did he not touch the kli? So we'll say, so remember again, here's what's interesting. Everything is a matter of perspective. You see, we always thought that chol davar shein bo das lishal. So we'll say, up until now, I would have thought like this. That if you have a case of where I have a kli that's sitting on the ground, and what? I'm walking around carrying a sheretz. Because why not? I'm carrying a sheretz. And we'll say, what? And now, I'm not sure, did I touch the kli? Did I not touch the kli? So we'll say there are two different ways of looking at that case. On one end, you could say, well, that's a case of davar shein bo das lishal. Why is it a davar shein bo das lishal? Why? Because the kli. We'll say, on the other hand, maybe it's not. Why? Because we'll say, I am the one who's carrying the tuma, and I can be asked as to whether or not I touched the kli or not. So we'll say, the Gemara is suggesting over here that Rabbi Yochanan holds that in a case like this, where the tuma itself is being transported by a person who has das lishal, even though the shayla is in an inanimate object, that's not called safek tuma b'davar shemo das lishal. So this is what he writes: safek tuma ba bidei adam nishalan alel afilu bekli munach agabi karka kemi sheyesh bo das lishal. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan actually says that halacha l'maisav, even though the impacted object is inanimate, but if the tuma itself is being transported by something that has bodas lishal, it makes it into a case of a davar sheyesh bodas lishal. So we'll say, see here what's happening over here? Or Rabbi Yochanan will say like this, even though the impacted object is in bodas lishal, but if ultimately, again, the transport of the tuma is through a person, that makes it ultimately into a case of davar sheyesh bodas lishal. And if that's the case, afal pi shein chavrosan nosos osa b'mita. Then halacha l'maisa, you don't have to set up this case of the nida as a situation where ultimately your friends are going ahead and transporting the mita, but rather again, even if she's just sitting on it herself, she is the source of tuma, right? She has das lishal, that makes this whole case situation into a case of a suffic tuma bedaver sheyesh bo das lishal. And in achinami, Rabbosei, what the Mishnah will be teaching me is that in any case where we would apply her status me'is la'is, the couch should be impacted as well. But I say quite fascinating. Go for Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Safek tuma haba bidei adam nishalan alel afilu bekli hamunach al gabi karka kimi sheyesh bo das lishal. So I say now, what Rabbi Yochanan say? This is incredible. Rabbi Yochanan says like this. I say, therefore, any safek tuma that is brought about by a person, even though the impacted item is a davar shein bo das lishal, because the tuma is being transported by a person, that makes it into what? Into a davar sheyesh bo das lishoel. Therefore, what Rabbi say? Therefore, even if you're dealing with a kli that is sitting on the ground, and ultimately, again, there's a suffix, did someone touch it or not, that makes it into a case of kimi sheyesh bo das lishoel. Meisve, similar is the kasha, hayu misate petali sovetara satumas petzido. But listen to this interesting case. If somebody was sitting and he was wrapped in his talus, and there are taras and tumas on his side, with taras and tumas lamala merosha, and Rabbi say taras and tumas on above him as well. Safek naga, safek lo naga, Taz, well, so the easiest way to go ahead and deal with this case is, I have a talis, and the talis is tam. You know, Bosa, actually, we're going to stop over here. Well, the Meretz Hashem will pick up, and Meretz Hashem with the Meisvei tomorrow. We'll pick up, we'll say, but just understand, bottom line, what we end off with as follows. We end off with Halacha LaMeisa, this incredible case, and this redefinition of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan redefining for us the case, that a davar she'en bo das l'shal, Bosa, means, even if the impacted item is ein bo das lishal, but the source of the tuma is yesh bo das lishal, that makes it what? Into a case of yesh bo das lishal. Rabbi said the nafkamina being safek tuma in a davar she'ein bo das lishal is always tahor. Safek tuma but davar yesh bo das lishal will be tame. Even if the impacted item is ein bo das lishal, if the source of the tuma is yesh bo das lishal, the suffix tuma will be tameh. We'll continue in the Meretz Hashem tomorrow.